stand clear of the closing doors, please.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazed dogs and have some fun.
You gotta give us a shot.
You know what?
You gotta give us a shot.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to a reaction show. The New York Giants win 21-20 versus the Tennessee Titans. This is a damn good feeling. I almost lost my voice. I'm pretty sure I may have had an aneurysm or a stroke caused by all the screaming, but I am fucking telling you, I am excited. I don't give a shit. Normally, I'm going to try to keep it PG. This is raw today. I am raw dogging that shit. And you know what? I don't care if that's Terry Collins at the end of our intro, because that's how I feel right now. You got to give us a shot.
Tyreek or Terry?
And that's what Brian Daboll did. Now, by the way, trademarking it, I'm nicknaming him going forward Brian Dayballs, because that's what he did. He laid him on the fucking table with that two-point conversion. I love it. Love it.
I can't even. Where do I even begin? What a freaking crazy game. You know, first half, I thought we were dead. I was ready to, like, go take a walk. And then I can come back from halftime, and it's like Saquon breaks that crazy-ass run. And then Daniel Jones throws the interception and leads us down the field, man. Holy shit. That's all I have to say. What a game. What a night. I am with you, Mage. I can barely talk, but holy shit. We won. 1-0, baby.
We talked about injecting something into this fucking franchise last week, boys. And Brian Daboll and 2-6 put those nuts on the line. Fucking redemption day for 2-6, man. That man was angry.
Hey, Saquon said he's fucking pissed off this year. He was going to run through some people. Saquon outperformed Derrick Henry. Everybody was worried about Derrick Henry. Tennessee should have been worried about fucking number 2-6. I'll tell you that much. He was pissed off, and he was running with purpose. You saw it even afterwards. He had that one down the sideline. He didn't try to avoid contact. He lowered his shoulder and went right into it. Something that we talked about when we used to be clapback, that Saquon needs to stop playing pretty and start lowering his nose and putting his head into people's chest, and that's exactly what he did. I did send out the link to a few people, so I want to just bring a few people in here. We're going to bring in on a good friend, Frank the Tank. Because we want to share the enjoyment, guys. We're not used to this feeling here, so.
Fucking enjoy it as long as we can, baby, because it doesn't come often. Frank!
What's up, baby?
So you're my twin, apparently, I hear. People have been calling you my twin. I don't have my beard right now, but.
Right. I didn't recognize you. I was like, who's that dude with the shiny face?
Frank, how you feeling, baby? Come on, let's go.
Oh, my God. It's amazing. You know what? This is the first time we're 1-0 since 2016, and only the second time in, what, 11 years? That is insanity.
I don't even know what to say, man. I really don't know what to say. I mean, based on this team, I thought they were going to let us down. I don't know about you guys, but I'm sitting there. I saw those two defensive holdings on that last drive. I'm like, oh, shit, they're going to kick a game winner on us. And I'm standing down here, and I'm like, kick, go, go, go. And it just went flying off to the side. I'm just like, yes, finally this team, something goes right.
Is it possible that our luck has changed? I mean, I think Daboll created some luck by going for it on two, right? He put pressure on Tennessee. They had to get down there, and because they weren't allowed to just go to overtime. So he put the pressure on, and he kind of created some luck there, and it was freaking awesome.
How about that fucking play call, man? That Mahomes Travis Kelce flip, the Danny to Saquon flip. That was all Kafka. You know that was all Kafka.
Oh, 100%. And some of the you guys know I listen to a lot of different podcasts, and some of the other guys have been talking about that. Specifically guys that are at practices, they said they've been seeing that all summer, and they said it's going to come out. You just wait. It's coming. What a play. And Saquon just ran through those guys.
They were in shock after he broke that long run. That you could tell the whole stadium was in shock. They were like, "What the fuck just happened?" You know,
yeah.
I was watching and I'm like, "Holy shit! We haven't seen that since like 2018 with Saquon." And I'm just like, and I knew at that point, I knew the Giants had it. If they wanted to take this game and get back into it, I knew they could have it. And God, they took it and they won it all.
Guys, I don't have the statistics, and Mage, you can probably find this stuff quicker than anybody, but how many plays did we have go over 50 yards last year? I think we had three today.
I think it was six or eight, right?
The whole season, right?
Yeah.
We had three today.
Yeah, well, we had Bobby. I was on with Bobby yesterday. He was talking about that. I think since 2018, Saquon has the most runs or most plays for 50-plus yards. And, you know, you're talking about the two runs today they broke. And then, I mean, it's just honestly. So, I mean, all right. So, let's start to break down, right? So, we're definitely excited by this win here. What was it that you're most excited about now heading into next week's game versus Carolina?
Who are you talking to, me?
I'm everybody. It doesn't matter. Let's go.
I mean, dude, you gotta change this narrative, right? Why stop at one? I mean, when was the last time we started 2-0 besides that after the one Super Bowl, right?
Next week is home, right? Home against Carolina?
I'm opening.
And Baker's bloody, too. You know, today he lost against his Browns. So we go in and we have a chance to go 2-0 for the first time in since probably, what, most 16 maybe? Like, this team has the opportunity now because they won this game to really start hot, you know. And I'm not buying anything with Justin Fields. I don't know if you guys saw that game today. They beat San Francisco in that really crappy weather, and he didn't really impress me. I think this team can go easily 3-1. But let's take it one game at a time. Tonight, obviously, is a big win.
The thing that was concerning to me, though, was that this offensive line still looks bad in pass protection.
Pass pro is bad.
That's something that we have to see improve throughout the season. Right. Otherwise, there's not going to be a whole lot of opportunities for guys like Kenny Galladay, Kadarius Toney, who, again, the reason why he was not involved as much is a little bit beyond me. He did get the one handoff, and he made, like, I don't know, probably, I think, five defenders miss on the one play. But I just don't understand why Kadarius Toney wasn't involved. But you see a lot of his stuff, and it was a lot of short – underneath type of routes. They couldn't really take that shot deep. But the one time they did, they hit Sterling Shepard for the bomb. He had one-on-one coverage. Then he recognized the coverage there, took advantage of it. But this pass protection is something that still worries me. But on the other side,
you know what I love about that line though, Mish? What wasn't working, they bailed on it. They were fucking run blocking from the start, and they knew that they had the strength there. They battled through. They made adjustments at halftime. And, yes, that's the coaching staff. But that's things that we would have never seen last year. We would have went back to the same old shit. And they knew that the ground was their strength in the second half. And they adjusted. I got to give credit there, man.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's something that we are not ever used to. I mean, even with pre-Joe Judge, we were always bitching about halftime adjustments. And here we are, man. They pulled one out, dude. They had no business winning that game. Let's be real. No fucking business.
Well,
completely different team in the second half.
Well, first of all, if you want to compare this to a Joe Judge team, forget about it. I think we would have lost this game 31-6. But also to the resiliency by this football team. Daniel Jones, they get the turnover on the muff punt. They're in the red zone. Daniel Jones throws that ridiculous interception. I mean, this is why people get nuts with Daniel Jones. That should have been out of his hand a lot sooner if you wanted that to be a back shoulder throw or throw it to the corner of the end zone. You can't throw it anywhere. Throw it anywhere else except the way you did. But still do the interception. I want to give credit because they went here. Nick the Wicks in here too. But Blue City Empire Sports had mentioned, did anyone see Dable yelling at DJ for that interception? Good, I'm glad.
Yeah, he needs to be yelled at. He's
get in his face.
He has to be held responsible. Listen, we are at times the biggest Daniel Jones homers, but after watching an interception, I for a second said, I'm done with this kid because, you know, that was so choreographed. I think everyone to Knoxville knew where the ball was going. It was going to Saquon, and he didn't look off of him. He just threw it up there, and you can't let that happen, especially when you get a turnover like that. And you got to admit, the Titans did give us a lot of extra chances than what we luckily capitalized on it, but we should have been, you know, after that turnover in the end zone, I didn't feel really good.
Yeah, but the resiliency, you know what? They didn't give up. They didn't stop throwing the ball. And not only that, too, the gutsy call on fourth and one to go for it. And Danny, with the quarterback sneak, rolled out, picked up the first down. They kept the ball moving. And not only that, too, on that two-point conversion with the rollout. And again, he put the ball in Danny's hands when it mattered the most. And I think that's really going to help Danny's development going forward. Yeah, all right, he had the one interception. He made the mistake. But how did he come back from it?
He won the game.
Right, he led this team to a win. And that's what I'm really encouraged to see moving forward, too.
And you know, Mage, and you know, if this was Joe Judge, he never would have put the ball in Daniel Jones's hand. It would have been, he wouldn't have had that belief. And yeah, you make a great, awesome point there, because quite honestly, Daniel Jones won that game with Saquon Barkley. I know people are going to say it was all about Saquon, but Daniel Jones, that final drive, he led us down the field and we won. And you know, I can't take anything away from either of those players. It was a great win.
Danny struggled, no doubt. I mean, but he really wasn't bad. I mean, the two turnovers were bad, right? But other than that, he was pretty damn good for what he was given. I mean, he was getting fucking shelled behind that line. I mean, I'm tired of blaming the line, but that first half was pretty much majority of the line. He didn't play that bad. He's just got to cut those turnovers over, man.
He had less interceptions than Josh Allen, so I'll just leave it at that.
Who is this fucker on the screen?
What up, fellas? You know who it is. Come on, man.
The elite.
You know who it is.
Our former GM over here.
I'm still the GM of Giants Twitter, man. No doubt.
You're the GM of the entire franchise for eternity.
So what's going on, DG? What are you walking away with from today? What are you excited about moving forward? What do you want to see better, man?
You know what I'm excited about right now? And I've mentioned this to a lot of you before. I'm excited about the X-Man. In Wink Martindale's scheme, man, he's putting his hands
Which
up.
Which one? Which one?
The original There's X-Man.
One moving forward.
O'Shane Zimenez.
No,
O'Shane Zimenez had pressure all day. I mean, how many hurries did he
That's
have?
That's what we're fucking talking about? He had no sacks.
But how many pressures did he have?
I know.
How many balls did he have? We didn't see that play out of him from a player that went to a poverty school and now is in a system in which players that are long and athletic like him could thrive. I'm telling you, man, he's going to have a good season. Saw it in him. You know, still some concerns with Danny, just as always. I mean, that play looked like it was a miscommunication between both Danny and Saquon.
No, that's not on Saquon. That interception's 100% on Danny.
He didn't even look anywhere else.
I'm not going to make any excuses for Danny. That ball has to be thrown sooner if it's going to be back shoulder, or if you're holding it that long, it's got to be back pylon. There's only two places to put that football. You can't wait until the receiver, the defender comes over. But
I think Dave will let him know about
it. Eyes right on Danny, the whole time. Like if he was turned, if his shoulder was turned to him, you could throw that ball. But when the safety's staring at Danny, he throws the ball. Like I'm like, what are you doing? Like, and Danny's done that so much over his career. Like he gets like this nervous twitch when it's down to the red zone. I remember a game in Tampa, he did a similar thing. A game against the Rams, he did something similar. Like
Pittsburgh,
gotta just calm his nerves, and Dave Ball's gotta work with him a bit just to get those jitters out because. He had an overall solid game under duress the entire game. I mean, our interior offensive line was getting annihilated all game. All game. Yeah. Jeffrey Simmons was a one-man wrecking crew. But, you know, at the end of the day, man, you know, coaching won that game for us because Tennessee made some awful – that tight end sweep on third down. Like, what was that? And Dayball coached a good game. So, you know, Tennessee on paper is a much more talented team, but we outcoached them. And that's the difference between, I think, this new regime and the ones we had in here before.
By the way, I got to point this out. Blue City Empire of Sports asked, is that Mike Kafka with a mustache when you came in? So you might have a new persona on Twitter now, DJ.
I mean, you know.
He's way bigger than Mike Kafka.
He is, but.
Way more jacked, I should say. Way more jacked.
You got Mark Herzlick a lot.
Mark Herzlick, I've heard that before, you know. I get a lot of, you know, Brad Pitt and.
moving on. But I'll tell you, the one thing that really upset me, or I mean, if I have one concern moving forward, it's this defense, man. This defense, I mean, how many times were they penalized on that last drive alone when we needed a stop? I mean, Darnay Holmes with the holding call. Kalicho, I think, had a defensive holding call as well. Then you got Darnay Holmes that give up that big play to Kenny Phillips. It's like, fuck. Like, I mean, you know, seemingly the offense is moving the ball, which is something that we haven't seen last year. I know we talked about this before, but Frank hates when I repeat myself. But, you know, the offense is one thing that I wasn't going to be concerned about this year moving forward. I was more concerned about the defense. I thought that the offense would find itself under this system, under Brian Daboll and Mike Kafka. But I'm hoping it looks different when we get Aziz and Thibodeau back. But, man, right now it does not look good. They give up a lot of big chunk yards.
Tennessee is not that's not a great passing offense. It's not a star-studded wide receiver core. What would they say, three rookies were starting and the other guy had the most receptions on the team and he had 70 career receptions? So, I mean, that isn't anywhere close to the best wide receiver core we're going to see. Robinson definitely struggled a bit, but we knew that. We knew that this defense was going to be a little –
Did Robinson struggle? I thought he played pretty well. I didn't see I didn't see any spots where he was terrible.
In the first half, he was struggling a little bit, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember them calling his name much, so that's the only reason I'm saying that. I don't. Obviously, we don't have all 22 when we're watching the game, so it didn't seem like they were going after him. They were targeting the middle of the field. They were going after the linebackers. They were, you know, I mean, freaking. Their backup running back was eating Tay Crowder's shorts.
Did Derrick Henry even get 100 yards? Because
no.
One big win for the Giants was that they were able to pretty much contain him. You know,
yeah.
Everyone was talking about how Derrick Henry was going to come in and run us over. We for the most part, contained him. And I think that was one of the keys to this victory. We had to do that. And we did. And, you know, they just did not have the horses to kill us with their wide receivers. But that's – going forward, like you guys are saying, it's going to be a concern and it needs to be addressed.
The way the first half ended, I thought Derrick Henry was going to have 100 yards in the second half. But, I mean, they came out and shut him down. I was stunned the way that – I mean, he probably only had about 20 or 30 yards in the second half.
Yo, Richie James –
Tay Crowder spooked him a bit, man, with that hit. That hit was probably the hit of the week. That Tay Crowder on Henry
hit him out.
That's going to be in the highlights. That'll be circulating around the Twitterverse for a bit.
Tay struggled hard, though, today.
There's yeah, no coverage. He doesn't play well in space, and he doesn't have, like,
he's great awareness. Downhill, man. He's great downhill, but
yeah. He's athletic as hell, man. He gets up when he's, you know, blitzing and the quarterback is throwing the ball. I mean, he's, like, 4 feet off the ground. He's – every time they showed Tannehill throwing a pass, Tay Crowder was like 4 feet off the ground trying to block it.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about Richie James, man?
I kind of forget what the play was with Tay Crowder, but Tay Crowder on a pass over the middle had his back completely friggin' turned to the quarterback, and Tannehill still had the ball. It's like you just can't do that, especially not as a member of the defensive unit. Like, he just friggin' looked lost in coverage. And again, there's nothing that we can really do about it now, but that's where I think adding a guy like Jalen Smith, who's out there still in free agency, who's has good coverage grades, maybe not so great everywhere else, but he's a good tackler, good coverage linebacker. I think he would have done well in Wink's system. He's still out there, so I guess apparently a lot more people just feel like, I guess, he's not worth picking up.
Was Micah McFadden out there at all? I didn't see him at all on the field.
I didn't see Micah at all either myself.
No.
Yeah, you got to wonder. I felt when I was watching the game, I felt he'd be a little more athletic. And perhaps if he's actually on the field, he could help with it. Because they were getting killed, like you said. They were getting killed, you know, laterally on the sidelines. They just didn't have the athletes out there to
cover, you know.
Yeah, it absolutely sucks. You can tell that, you know, with Beavers in, this probably would have been a much better defense, a much better coverage linebacking core. But, I mean, they're just getting their ass handed out there, too. And Kalicho got called for a penalty as well. It's just –
Kalicho, he did have two tackles for a loss, though. I mean,
The other thing is, too, and we couldn't really get to Tannehill. Every time we got to Tannehill, it was like we were always a tad late.
Well, I'm glad you said that because I wanted to jump back to GG's.
Oh, good. I'm glad I brought it up then.
On X-Man, but replace X-Man with Tibbs and Ojulari, and you might be getting a little bit more pressure there, man. You know, that one extra step that Tibbs can give us that X-Man can't give us could have been a sack today. We were close. You're right. X-Man did play well, but – I mean, I think adding those two guys back, I mean, I just imagine with them on the field today.
I'm holding them out. Agreed. I'm not playing them next week. I want them 100% against Dallas.
I don't blame you.
You know, at this point, winning the first game, that puts us in a really good position. I mean, I think with what we have, we should be very competitive next week. And then you have both, hopefully, have Tibbs, at least Tibbs back, and maybe the Z's back as well for that Monday night game. We should be ready to go, but – Let's see what happens this week.
Fellas, I don't want to put my tin hat on here. However, we played the AFC South division winner on the road.
You do realize that's not made of tin, though, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Why were we only 5.5-point underdogs as a 4-13 team going into – Was Tennessee the number one seed in the AFC last year?
I believe they were.
They lost a lot. They lost a lot, between
– A.J. Brown was a big loss.
Julio Jones.
Julio didn't really do much last year.
Harold Landry. They lost quite a bit. But, I didn't think Henry looked – he looked slow. I don't know. What you guys thought? I don't think he.
Well, he hasn't been like full go all summer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
For anybody that watched Tanner's channel last night, Tanner had a roundtable before the week one. And that was some of the things I talked about too. Frank was, they were concerned about Derrick Henry, but this is his first game action. He didn't play all preseason. Once you get hit the first, couple of times, it's a little bit different. It takes players a couple weeks to get back into the groove of things, though. So, what's up, Rocco? I don't know what your dog's name is, but Rocco seems fit. All right, Rocco, it is.
Grow the beard back. CG, grow the beard back, Tabitha's saying.
I have a story. I have to explain why the beard's gone, okay? So,
all right, yeah, forget football. Let's talk about the beard.
No, the beard. So, there was a contest I actually entered, the Steve Bartman lookalike contest. So, I had to shave the beard for it. So, you got to understand, I'm going to try to grow it back. It usually takes me about a week. So, I'll be back. Just keep watching. Keep let your friends know.
Thank you, Tap.
There was a what contest?
A Steve Bartman lookalike contest. The glasses.
You kind of do look like Steve Bartman a little bit.
I had a little
Cubs hat on. And
yeah, I had a Cubs hat.
Who's Steve Bartman? Who is this?
You don't know who Steve Bartman is? The guy in 2003. The guy who's trying to catch the ball. Man.
I bet Frank doesn't know either.
Watch on ESPN. There's like a 30 for 30,
They don't like baseball, bro. They're anti-baseball.
Yankee Stadium?
I'm not anti-baseball.
No, it's at Wrigley Field. I live in the Midwest,
I'm not anti-baseball.
A Cubs guy wearing his Walkman listening to the game while he steals a home run.
Yeah, I remember that.
In the playoffs, right?
Hey, can we talk about Tony for a minute? Because, you brought it up earlier, Mage, and –
Well, we can talk about Tony, and then Murph wanted to talk about James too, so we'll stick with the
ones. Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to bring my two cents. It felt like they're bringing him in slowly because he hasn't practiced, and they were kind of picking their shots where they wanted to use him. What do you guys think about it? Do you think he really was not out there for some other reason?
I think he doesn't know the playbook. I think the same issue with Judge. I think it's the same issue right now with Dable. He doesn't know the playbook. And if you notice, he wasn't put in really. They only put him in for like a gadget play or two. Yeah. He doesn't know the playbook, and that's been his issue. I don't know if it's a study issue or it's just he's not applying himself, but at least that's my perspective. It seems like he doesn't know the playbook, and that's why he's not on the field.
Which is crazy because our lovely beat had reported earlier this week how dialed in he had become and sitting next to Daniel at his locker in the locker room. And
yeah,
I don't
that's
know, man. I mean, it's either what you guys are saying or we're going to find out he was like late to something this morning and was disciplined. I don't know. It really sucks though because we needed a spark on offense. Obviously, we had Saquon, but you know, he comes in the game and makes a play immediately and then you don't see him again, which really, really hurts, dude, because he's our first round pick.
And he's his ability to make defenders miss is ridiculous.
Insane. I mean,
it's not like we got some other wide receivers lighting the world on fire besides my boy Richie James, but you know, like we need it.
Who is our best punt returner that we've had since, I don't know, I mean,
Hickson,
definitely Dwayne Harris, but
Hickson. But I mean, also, damn, dude, he was fucking heads up at wide receiver today too.
He played well.
High IQ plays, well, especially with the way
he did drop that one third down pass though too. But
this is not the best ball.
He put it where only James could get it. No excuses.
What happened to Wandell? I have a question about that.
That's concerning. We don't know. I don't know unless y'all know.
No, but it was only reported as a knee injury, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, it was just that one catch he had. He got kind of rolled up funny. Looked like his legs were kind of, you know, folded up under him, but it didn't look bad. It wasn't like a non-contact thing, so could be like he, you know, sprained his ankle or mildly. I don't know.
All right, so
talk about the Andy Reid trickery real quick. I can't remember if it was the touchdown.
One second, DJ, before you go into that. So just sticking with the wide receivers real quick. So we have Richie James active, Kadarius Toney, Wandell Robinson, Sills was in there on a play, and then Kenny Galladay. Did it make sense to inactivate Darius Slayton then?
No. They missed him. I mean, they could have used his vertical stretch ability.
I agree.
I mean, he should have been. I mean,
if you're going to predicate an offense off of spacing.
I think the problem is he doesn't play specials. You know, if they have to choose between him and James or him and Sills, they're going to pick the guys that play specials.
Deactivate Brightwell or something.
Brightwell's a kick returner.
Yeah, but you're telling me James can't do that?
Well, I'm sure he can.
I mean, and how many kicks went into the back of the end zone?
But I think Brightwell's on every special teams too. Like he's on the punt team, the punt return team.
I'm willing to sacrifice a little bit on special teams to actually get this offense to open up the way that I want it to. This offense is obviously predicated on spacing. They want to get these guys like Wandell, Kadarius Toney space underneath to work. I mean, shit. Yeah, it's Saquon out there. You don't think Saquon would have benefited from some spacing today? I mean, obviously, Kenny Galladay is not taking anybody deep. He's not creating depth on this field.
Yeah.
You kind of need a guy like Darius Slayton. I don't understand making him inactive. I just don't.
They need – you saw with Shepard. You saw the touchdown. The Giants need to take
– we also had Shepard active.
I mean, they need to take more deep shots. And that's the one thing today I was kind of I didn't feel good about was, you know, there was, I think, one deep shot the entire game. Let's take more deep shots because everyone's expecting a run. Everyone's expecting a short pass. Let's take some, you know, shots over the top. And that could be because Slayton wasn't there and they just didn't have the people.
No, that's a good point. It's a really good point.
Pretty crazy that Shepard's back. I mean, like, it's pretty nuts.
You look good too, man.
Beat out there.
Yeah, snap count seemed a little limited, but however, when he was out there, he definitely looked a bit spry.
Well, I was talking to Tanner yesterday about that too. I mean, honestly, with Shepard and Wandell, I would probably use Wandell in between the 20s, and I would bring Shepard in red zone packages because, you know, he's trusted by Danny, and not only that too, he has a really good catch ratio. So once you get down there in the red zone, I would probably use Shepard, where a guy like Wandell, who's 5'8", might get lost in traffic when all of a sudden it gets that close. But I would use Wandell in between the 20s and sub him out and use Shepard in red zone packages.
Breida didn't do bad either today. You know, you're talking about Saquon, but Breida, yeah. I hadn't seen much of him in the preseason, and he was a good change of pace. And
I was surprised they were running him between the tackles.
Yeah,
lightning quick. You can just see his burst, like sliding against the ball. He's very fast.
Well, and we were questioning his spot on the roster last week, and I mean,
I told you all he's making the roster, man. He's averaged 5 yards a carry in the NFL.
No. We knew he made the roster, but we were kind of confused why, since we hadn't seen him, he hadn't practiced. But that's why coaching knows best, right? We
don't know shit. Was Antonio Williams inactive today too, or no?
Yeah, he's inactive.
Yeah, I didn't remember who all the inactives were. DJ, you had a point that you wanted to bring up.
No, I don't remember if it was the touchdown or the 2-point conversion where we had the shovel pass, but that was the touchdown.
Yeah,
that was right out of the Andy Reid playbook that Kafka brought over. That was a Mahomes to Tyreek Hill type of play. And I'm just enjoying seeing that type of creativity with the offense versus the sterile Jason Garrett thing we've dealt with over the past 2 years. It's refreshing. And I think, you know, if Danny can get on board with not taking himself too seriously, I think he could be, you know, like, what do you all think Danny's ceiling is? Like, do you think it's top 16? Do you think it's top 10? Like,
are we really going there?
I'm just asking, you know. I mean, we're watching the games. This is the fourth year now. I get frustrated, like, at some of his trepidation.
Pull up Matt's comment.
I'm not sure if I should, because if I do, it's going to be there forever.
Sorry, dude. Making babies.
Yeah, Matt.
That's the first I've heard of him all day, actually, since the game started.
I think he actually tweeted that after the game.
There's gonna be a lot of babies in June next year. That's all I can say after tonight. Yeah.
Dude.
No, but the Daniel Jones thing, you know, how I see this with him, he gets in his head. Okay, today, you know, for the most part, he had a really good game, except for his boneheaded interception, and the strip sack wasn't his fault. I mean, I think it was Azudu who got ran over, you know, on that play. So, I mean, if he can just manage the game and stay out of his own way, I think he could be a top 12 quarterback. But like, today was a big test. He had to win today in my mind, and he did. So
yeah, let's just see. That's a good point.
Let's see how he does. I mean, let's see how he does the next couple of games and revisit.
What were his final stats, Mage?
Hold on, I'll pull it up.
I mean, he was pretty darn accurate.
How many incompletions?
Danny was 17 for 21, 188, 2 TDs, 1 interception, 25 on the ground on 6 carries.
Yeah.
So, the strip sack and the interception were really bad, but he was pretty fucking serviceable all day long, man, for what he was getting thrown at him. I mean, that fucking Jeffrey Simmons is no joke, dude. Like, no. I said it last week. He's the second best interior defensive lineman in the NFL, in my opinion, behind Aaron Donald. And he's getting damn close to Aaron Donald. And he's damn good. So, yeah, our guards got their shit pushed in today. Feliciano got his shit pushed in. But that's a damn good football player, dude. I mean, that's a game wrecker, man. Like, we're not seeing him next week in Carolina.
You got Brian Burns next week, which is going to be a challenge. Yeah. But honestly, you can't go into next week saying, you know, Carolina's defense is more challenging than Tennessee. In my mind, it isn't. So,
Carolina's got the edges. Carolina's got the edges, which is, you know, we've got our tackles. You know, I think we match up better with Carolina's defense.
I mean, the Titans got the linebackers. Zach Cunningham's a damn good linebacker. They got the safeties. Don't they have?
They've got some good DBs. Their safeties and their cornerbacks are strong.
Carolina's definitely going to be good, but what are we going to? How are we going to sit here and say that they're better on paper than Carolina? No way, no.
And the thing with Baker Mayfield is a turnover waiting to happen. I mean, we're going to be home. He has a tendency of having turnovers at the worst point. So you just, as long as you can manage the game and you can control the pace, the Giants should win next week. But we'll talk about that obviously more as the week goes on. But, you know, there's no reason this team can't be competitive next week.
What's the preliminary line? Is there a line for next week yet?
I'm sure there will be tonight.
I'm not sure. Saquon Barkley was 6 yards shy of 200 all-purpose.
Let's go back to 2-6, man, because everybody hates him. So I hope there's some haters in here listening.
He was a monster.
Who's that 27 guy? Dude, I think that 27 guy should get a bowl of pro tonight. Oh, Joe Saquon, just shut the fuck up, okay? And I don't care if he hears me. Shut the fuck up. Because I'm tired of hearing people complain about Saquon's got a freaking heart. And you know, he was injured. Bro. The guy...
I've never seen him play
fan base, I tell you, man.
TJ, you have a problem with Will? Is that what you're saying?
I have a problem with anyone who can't watch football and understand talent, you know?
Yo.
And I don't care who the hell it is.
I'm not going to waste my time on dipshit, Will. Saquon was a mean man today, and I've never seen that in him. I've never seen that man run like that. Running forward, literally giving 110%, pass blocking. I've never seen his performance. I'm not even in college. I mean, he was a beast in college, and I've never seen that man run like a bell cow today.
No, he had a different look in his eye today.
He was angry, and if he could keep that up, man, and stay healthy, that dude is going to be back.
The story. Yeah,
he was pissed off today.
He looked at the opposing sideline, and he saw Henry, and that's like a challenge, you know. You look at the opposing sideline of teams, and you're like, hey, man, Derrick Henry's over there. I'm going to fucking run my ass. Run these guys into the ground, man. I'm going to show them up. And he did. Like, he did. Saquon had a much better game than Derrick Henry.
This team will go.
After that after the touchdown, and Giants scored, tied it up, or made it 19-20. The stare down that he gave somebody right after he scored, too, man. He looked him right in the grill like, yeah, that's right, motherfucker. You didn't stop me. I'm going to see if I can find an image of it.
I think that was the two-point conversion because the touchdown – wasn't the touchdown to Chris Mariak or whatever?
No, that was a two-point conversion.
It was? All right.
No, opposite. Yeah, opposite.
The touchdown was to the tight end to Chris, and then the two-point was the shovel then, right?
Was it? Yep. I thought it was the opposite. All right. Uh-huh. I'm wrong then.
Talk about ballsy play, though. You think about that tying touchdown to Mariak.
I mean,
you can't.
I love it, dude.
Sills made a nice little chip on that. Did y'all see that? When Sills kind of cut through, made a chip, almost fell, but he created just enough space for what's the tight end's name? Chris, whatever.
Myrick.
Just to create that space to catch that touchdown. That's why Sills is on the roster. You know, the plays like that. He's strong. He's athletic, and he's able to block. He can block the kids. Probably the best blocking.
It's got to pain some people to see him wearing number 13, though.
Yeah. And there's still people who think Odell's coming back, you know? I mean, who knows?
I wonder if Sills would give up his number if Odell came back.
That would be interesting.
Likely.
Unlikely he's coming back.
We still mad at Odell? If Odell came back, would you all be happy? Would you be like, yeah, why not? Or would you be like, fuck that?
I trashed Odell really badly, but quite honestly, you know, if he's gonna fit in our offense and he's still a good player, in my mind, you know, he wants to come back and we can afford him, which I don't think we can. Come on back.
I hate Odell, but he can come out of that men. But I'll tell you right now, he ain't coming because he's a fucking coattail rider. He's gonna be on the Bills or the Rams pretty soon.
Yeah. But the Chiefs, I don't know why he hasn't been mentioned with the Chiefs yet. I mean, I know they drafted some guys and they signed, you know, TikTok boy, but I just saw that as a obvious fit over there.
They dismantled today. They dismantled in Arizona. I mean, I don't think they need him yet.
Did we have a touchdown to a wide receiver last year? Was this the first touchdown to a wide receiver we had in 2 years?
I mean, somebody had to call one.
I think Shep had.
Shep had a couple at the beginning of the year.
Okay. He's like the best wide receiver in the league after 2 weeks, I think, last year.
Him and Danny were top five and everything.
So here's the play that I was talking about, obviously. And then when he gets up, just the look that he gives.
He fires the football. Like I was like, oh, my God, is he down? He's down? Make sure you're down before you chuck that football.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, I love it.
Y'all see the video of Dabs dancing in the locker room yet?
I mean, they had that thing. Dead to rights in the backfield. I thought no way.
He is well liked.
He sure is.
Got right up. It was Fulton he went after.
So Saquon's final stat line was 18 carries, 164, 9 yard average, one TD, 6 receptions for 30 yards, 5 yard average.
Yeah.
Beast.
And he had the one run was like what, 60 yards? And the other one was what?
His long was 68.
And then the other one was 40 yards, but 15 yards more with the fumble.
Which, what's that? That's only his second career fumble.
Was it really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow, that's insane.
Yeah, the
he had never fumbled the ball till last year, even in high school.
Yeah. Well, he was like looking at the scoreboard, and then I think the safety was approaching, and then the other corner just came up and just jacked it underneath. He was totally unaware of it.
How about that uppercut that Bud Dupree threw on that one?
Oh yeah, and a flag,
man. That was pretty blatant. Like that was like.
I think they should. They could have given him a flag. I know he's going for the ball, but
still.
Yeah, but he was already held up though. It wasn't like he was, you know, placing dead. So you just uppercut in for what reason?
Yeah, that could have been unsportsmanlike.
The officials will look at something like that. They'll discuss it this week because you can't be going out in the field throwing uppercuts, you know, like, yeah, that's not going to fly. It's not going to fly.
Let me see. I'm trying to look for your second run here, Frank. There was a 68-yard run, and then there was a 33-yard run.
Okay.
I don't see any other run over 50, so just one today then, I suppose.
Well, the other play over 50 was the pass.
Yeah. But out of Saquon, though.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I think the total, like I said, the total yardage after the fumble and everything was close to 50. It was, I don't know what it ended up, but because they got all that forward progress on the fumble, right?
Yeah, they did get the forward progress on the fumble. So, that's it, man. Giants win. I'm
Victory Monday! Man. Dude, I fucking walked out of that. I don't know. I don't know who was on here, but I walked out of that bar and I was like, God damn it. I fucking hate this feeling. Tomorrow's Monday. The Giants fucking lost. Gotta go to work. And I get a text from all you clowns. Oh my God. Maybe I'm walking out every time we're kicking a game winning field goal. It's happening every time. I'm walking out from now on.
I don't know if I want to grow my beard back. Honestly.
No, I mean, fuck your beard. I didn't wear any Giants shit.
It's like the opposite of hockey.
Eugene, please grow it back. You need to look like Frank the Tank again. Please.
All right. Yeah, I like your beard anyway. And it'll be back.
It was definitely an exciting feeling. And, you know, the one thought that came to mind was that Washington game where it was like, you know, where we had won it. Then, yeah, Dexter Lawrence jump off sides, and then they beat us on the field goal again. Honestly, and they were within bullets range. It wasn't like it was a difficult shot. It wasn't from, you know, 61 yards or anything to that nature. He just missed it.
What was it?
It was just messing with me, man.
Was it 47, 48 yard?
Yeah, I forget. Yeah. I should put the stats away now. But, it was
awesome. Man.
Victories are so much better than the losses. But we're going to be back again Tuesday unless you guys have anything else. I think we pretty much just wanted to get on here to share the excitement with a lot of you guys. We'll probably be back again Tuesday. We'll look at some more of the tape, go over a little bit more in detail, and then we'll just go from there. Any closing remarks?
Let's go Bucks. Knock out the Cowboys tonight.
I'm excited to see what they do next week. I'm excited to see, you know, Saquon put some ridiculous tape together this week. Carolina is going to have to worry about him. I mean, if we can open up the passing game, it would be great. So I'm excited to see what Daboll and Kafka do with a week of prep after putting, you know, that kind of a running game together this week.
Yeah, absolutely. To the next Giants report, and I'm looking forward to seeing the homie Bobby Skinner talking Giants offensive line breakdown. Because I really, while watching the game, I really can't see what's going on. But I saw Thomas make a lot of nice run blocks. Neal looked a little off balance at times. You get all clustered up with the interior offensive line, so you really can't see what's going on. But I want to see how those guys played and hopefully some improvement in both the players as well as the scheme. Because the run blocking looked pretty phenomenal overall. So I'm looking forward to seeing how we did.
You know what? I know that we're about to get off here too, but the holes weren't that great. What it was too was that Saquon just was a lot more decisive at just hitting them. So there was one where I think it might have been the 68-yard run. So it was just like there was a small little crease on the left-hand side that he just slipped in between and then hit the burners, and that was it. He was out after that. But, you know, it wasn't like they were creating holes for Mack trucks to get through or anything. Like, Saquon was a lot more decisive. One thing that we didn't talk about, but you didn't see the dancing out of Saquon. Normally, he always dances behind that offensive line. Did not see that today, guys. Did not see it. He was a lot more decisive. He made up his mind where he wanted to go, and he hit the hole. So,
the jump cut was his
move. Just boost. To tag off, DG, tag off your comment about watching the offensive line stuff. I'm curious to see who was at left guard for some of those plays, because they were doing the Joe Judge rotation at left guard.
Zudu came in.
Zudu and Bredesen, yep.
Be interesting to see the PFF numbers on each of them, see who had the better game.
Yeah, well, we'll see them tomorrow. Murph, closing remarks?
Dude, I'm in such a good mood. I'm paying my bills right now because it's not going to make me angry. I'm so fucking happy. Just picking shit, boys. Picking shit. Closing remarks. I want to save my Carolina talk, but just kind of shocked, to be honest with you guys. Awful, awful first quarter, most second quarter, and just a completely different team in the second half. Just nothing I've seen from the Giants in 5 years. Just nothing to cry home about from, you know, a skill standpoint. They didn't light the world on fire from scoring, but just felt different today, boys, and I love it.
Awesome feeling today.
Victory fucking Monday.
You did say you weren't going to another game until the Giants were over 500, Murph. Giants over 500.
I did say that, but got to build wins first, boys. Got to build wins.
All right. Well, that's going to wrap up this episode of the Giants Report. Thank you, everybody, for joining us on this Victory Sunday. New York Giants win again 21-20 over the Tennessee Titans. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Peace and love, everyone.